Essay. What is the wish to cause the proper Dharma to remain long in the world? Our world-honored one, for our sakes, cultivated the Bodhi path for an infinite number of kalpas. He could practice what was difficult to practice, and could endure what was difficult to endure. His causes were perfect. His results were complete. Thus, he became a Buddha. After becoming a Buddha, he finished teaching those with whom he had affinities, and then he entered Nirvana. The proper Dharma age and the Dharma semblance age have already ended. We are now in the Dharma ending age. There are teachings, but no adherents. No one can distinguish the deviant from the proper. No one can tell right from wrong. We compete and struggle with each other. We pursue fame and fortune. Look around. The deluge has spread throughout the world. No one knows who the Buddha is, what the Dharma means, or what constitutes the Sangha. The decay has reached such a perilous point that one can scarcely bear to speak of it. Every time I consider it, my tears fall without my realizing it. I am a disciple of the Buddha, yet I am unable to return the kindness that has been done for me. I do not benefit myself. I cannot benefit others. While alive, I am of no benefit to my time. After death, I will be of no benefit to posterity. Although the heavens are high, they cannot cover me. Although the earth is thick, it cannot bear me. If my own offenses are not extremely grave, then whose are? Commentary. What is the wish to cause the proper Dharma to remain long in the world? How can we cause the proper Dharma to remain in this world and not die out in this world? Our world-honored one, Shakyamuni Buddha, for our sakes, the Buddha wished to cultivate and become a Buddha so that he could pull us out of the suffering we are in. He wanted us to be able to end birth and death and get out of the cycle of the revolving wheel. Thus he cultivated the Bodhi path for an infinite number of kalpas up to this day. The Buddha cultivated blessings and wisdom for three great asamkhya kalpas, planting the causes for his majestic appearance. Asamkhya is Sanskrit, meaning an uncountable number, and is one of the six great numbers. Three innumerably long kalpas is a long time indeed. In such a long time, wishing to teach and transform living beings, to resolve upon Bodhi, and to cultivate to become a Buddha, the Buddha gave away his body and life and was born again over and over in every square inch of this world. For example, he fed his body to a starving tigress. The Buddha saw her on the brink of starvation and gave her his own body. Who could make such a sacrifice? Most people want to live and fear death. Rarely is anyone willing to forsake his own well-being in order to secure the life of another. Throughout three uncountably long kalpas, the Buddha gave away his own life in order to help us living beings. Therefore, we should repay the Buddha's kindness. We might have once eaten the Buddha's flesh or drank his blood. Now that we are of the Buddhist faith, we should do a good job of repaying the Buddha's kindness. We should be thankful because the Buddha gave up his life so that we could live. He could practice what was difficult for most ordinary people to practice. This means doing things like giving to others his head, eyes, brains, and marrow. Someone might need eyes, and he gave them his. He didn't wait until after he died to donate them. He made a gift of them while he was living. Someone might have needed brains to cure an illness. He gave them his and gave up his life to save another. He also could have given away the marrow of his bones to save someone's life. In his many different lives, he was able to give up his country, city, wife, and children. He yielded the throne to his heir, thus giving away his country. Or he gave away his wealth and riches, thus giving away his city. The most difficult thing for most men to give up is their wife and family. The Buddha gave them to others. The Buddha was able to give away both inner and outer wealth to help others who needed them. No one can match the Buddha's selfless spirit of sacrifice for others, and could endure what was difficult for most people to endure. His causes were perfect. His results were complete. Thus, he became a Buddha. The seeds he planted were perfect, and so the results they brought were complete. He became a Buddha. After becoming a Buddha, he finished teaching those with whom he had affinities. He taught the living beings who were ready to be taught, and then he entered Nirvana. What is Nirvana? It is the state when nothing comes into being and nothing ceases to be. You don't undergo birth and death, but have ended birth and death. The proper Dharma age occurs when a Buddha lives in the world, people cultivate, have chan samadhi, and became sages. And Dharma semblance age occurs when people don't really cultivate but simply put on a false show. In the proper Dharma age, people meditate and can enter samadhi. In the Dharma semblance age, people work on superficial things like building temples and making Buddha images. These two ages last 1,000 years each, and they have already ended. Now we are already in the Dharma ending age, where it is as though we are but grasping at branch tips. The proper Dharma age is like being at the roots and trunk of the tree, and the Dharma semblance age is like being at the upper trunk of the tree. The Dharma ending age lasts 10,000 years. We still have more than 9,000 years left. When people truly cultivate during the Dharma ending age, there is a proper age within the Dharma ending age. And there is a semblance age in the Dharma ending age when people build temples or make Buddha images during the Dharma ending age. But the Dharma ending age exists for those who neither cultivate nor make images, and the sutras will disappear by themselves. They will disappear until only the Amitabha Sutra is left. It will then last for 500 years and then disappear too. Only Amitabha Buddha's name will remain for 100 years, saving countless living beings. But the Dharma will disappear from this world. Then no one will know about reciting the Buddha's name or about any Dharma at all. Although we are now in the Dharma ending age, times are still good enough that we can work hard at cultivating. In the Dharma ending age, there are teachings, but no adherents. They will directly oppose the Buddhist teachings. Monks and nuns do not eat meat, drink liquor, or chase women. But as the Dharma disappears, they will. The teachings will exist, but no one will really cultivate. What will ensue? No one can distinguish the deviant. The self-claimed sages and the monastics who don't do what monastics should do. From the proper. People will not recognize externalist sects, but will believe what they say. No one can tell right from wrong. We compete and struggle with each other. We pursue fame and fortune. Name and gain are the only goals. Look around. The deluge has spread throughout the world. Just look at the world. Everyone is caught up in getting fame and fortune. Monastics studying here who want fame and fortune must change and become real cultivators. No one knows who the Buddha is, or what he was about, what the Dharma means, in that it teaches us to stop doing any evil, become good, and to understand the truth. Instead, they will become more stupid and confused as they continue to study. Or what constitutes the Sangha? What is the Sangha? The Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha are the triple jewel. Sangha means a group of four or more monks living in harmony together, not one person living on his own. The decay has reached such a perilous point that people cannot even identify the Buddha, the Dharma, or the Sangha. One can scarcely bear to speak of it. It is unspeakable. Every time I consider it, my tears fall like rain without my realizing it. I am a disciple of the Buddha. A left-home person. Yet I am unable to return the kindness that have been done for me by the Buddha. I do not benefit myself. I've not done a good job of cultivating, and thus have not helped myself. I cannot benefit others around me. While alive, I am of no benefit to my time. After death, I will be of no benefit to posterity. Although the heavens are high, they cannot cover me. Although the earth is thick, it cannot bear me. I have done nothing to merit the earth's support and the heavens' cover. If my own offenses are not extremely grave, then whose are? I'm the most rotten. I should be very ashamed and should make the great resolve to attain Bodhi. Essay. My pain is, therefore, unbearable. I have no recourse but to immediately forget my baseness and quickly make the great resolve. Although I cannot reverse the fate of the Dharma's end in the present, I certainly must plan to protect and uphold the proper Dharma in the future. Therefore, good friends, gather together at the way place, perform the Karma Vachana, and establish Dharma assemblies. Make the 48 vows. Make vow after vow to save living beings. Make a deep resolve that will last for hundreds of thousands of kalpas. In thought after thought, resolve to be a Buddha. From this day to the end of future time, vow to return to the peace of the Pure Land at the end of every life, to ascend to the 9 grades of lotuses, and to then come back to the Saha world. Make the Buddha's sun gloriously shine once more. Open the gate of the Dharma again. Let the ocean of the Sangha be clear and pure in this world. The people of the East will be taught, and the Kalpa will be prolonged. the proper Dharma will long continue. Such is the meager but genuine resolve I strive to fulfill. This is the 10th cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Commentary. My pain is therefore unbearable. Referring to the reasons in the previous section. I have no recourse. There is nothing else I can do but to immediately forget my baseness and quickly make the great resolve. I won't wallow in self-pity, feeling that I am worthless and unsavable, but instead I'll resolve to spread the Buddha's teaching so it flourishes, thus saving living beings. Although I cannot reverse the fate of the Dharma's end in the present and wipe out the rotten trends in the world now, but I will do all I can, hoping that at least one person will turn over a new leaf and return to his basic purity. I certainly must plan to protect and uphold the proper Dharma in the future. That is why the great master wrote this essay for us now, so that we will learn of the way things are and resolve upon Bodhi. Therefore, good friends, my fellow meditators and friends in the spiritual path, gather together at the way place, perform the Karmavachana and repentance ceremonies, and establish Dharma assemblies. Make the 48 vows, like the 48 vows of Amitabha Buddha. Make vow after vow to save living beings. Make a deep resolve that will last for hundreds of thousands of kalpas, hoping to develop the seeds of Bodhi that have been buried deep inside for a long time. In thought after thought, resolve to be a Buddha. From this day to the end of future time, vow to return to the peace of the Pure Land at the end of every life, to ascend to the 9 grades of lotuses, and to then come back to the Saha world. Make the Buddha's sun gloriously shine once more. Open the gate of the Dharma again. Let the ocean of the Sangha be clear and pure in this world. The people of the East will be taught, and the Kalpa will be prolonged. The proper Dharma will long continue. Such is the meager but genuine resolve I strive to fulfill. This is the 10th cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Essay. Thus we know the 10 conditions and are fully aware of the 8 aspects. We consequently have a gateway through which to progress and a basis for our development. We have a human body and live in a favorable country. Our 6 sense organs are intact and our bodies are healthy. We have complete faith and fortunately we are without demonic obstacles. Furthermore, we Sanghans have been able to leave the home life and to receive the complete precepts. We have found a way place and have heard the Buddha Dharma. We have looked reverently upon the Buddha's Sharira, and we practice repentance. We have met good friends and are replete with superior conditions. If we fail to make the great resolve today, what are we waiting for? I hope only that the great assembly will sympathize with my single-minded sincerity and share my earnest intent. Let us take these vows together. Let us make this resolve together. Whoever has not yet made the resolve should do so now. Whoever has already made the resolve should bolster it. Those who have already bolstered it should continue to advance. Do not fear difficulty and make a cowardly retreat. Do not consider this matter easy and frivolously waste time. Do not wish for quick results and fail to persevere. Do not become lax and fail in your courage. Do not become dispirited and fail to rouse yourself. Do not let procrastination cause you to delay. Do not let stupidity and dullness keep you from making the resolve. Do not assume that you have shallow roots and are therefore unworthy of taking part. For example, after a tree is planted, the once shallow roots deepen every day. Similarly, as a knife is sharpened, the blade which was once dull becomes sharp. Because the roots are shallow, would we choose not to plant the tree and allow it to wither away? That the knife is dull is no reason not to sharpen it and to set it aside as useless. Commentary. Thus we know the 10 conditions, like repaying the Buddha's kindness, our parents' kindness, living beings' kindness, the donor's kindness, and causing the proper Dharma to remain long in the world, and are fully aware of the 8 aspects: deviant, proper, true, false, great, small, partial, and complete. We consequently have a gateway through which to progress and a basis for our development. Now we have the land to develop and build on. We all have a human body and live in a favorable country. Our 6 sense organs are intact, and our bodies are healthy. Our eyes, ears, noses, tongues, bodies, and minds, the 6 sense faculties are all complete and functioning properly. We have complete faith in the Buddha's teaching, and fortunately we are without demonic obstacles. Furthermore, we Sanghans, the monastics from whom Great Master Xing'an wrote this essay for, have been able to leave the home life and to receive the complete precepts, the 10 precepts of a Shramanera, the 250 Bhikshu precepts, and the 10 major and 48 minor Bodhisattva precepts. We have found a way place, a good place to cultivate, and have heard and learned to understand the Buddha Dharma. We have looked reverently upon and bowed to the Buddha's Sharira, and we practice repentance. We have met so many good friends and are replete with superior conditions. If we fail to make the great Bodhi resolve today, what are we waiting for? I hope only that the great assembly will sympathize with my single-minded sincerity and share my earnest intent, my simple way of thinking. Let us take these 48 vows together. Let us make this resolve. Based on the 10 reasons to resolve our minds, together. Whoever has not yet made the resolve should do so now. Do it now. Whoever has already made the resolve should bolster it. Help it along. Those who have already bolstered it should continue to advance Advance without retreating from your resolve to reach Bodhi. Do not fear the difficulty involved in cultivating the Bodhisattva path and make a cowardly retreat. Do not consider this matter of resolving on Bodhi easy and frivolously waste time and not pay attention. Do not wish for quick results and fail to persevere. There is a saying, charge forward too fast, and you'll retreat just as fast. Don't be greedy for speed. It is easy to rush forward on a burst of enthusiasm, but it is hard to advance daily at a regular pace for a long time. We must see things through and not stop until we reach the goal we set for ourselves. We must be responsible in what we do and never shirk our duties. We must not retreat from our resolve to reach Bodhi. Do not become lax and fail in your courage. Don't hanker to take a break. Do not become dispirited and groggy or listless and fail to rouse yourself. Do not let procrastination cause you to delay. Wait a while, you say. We don't need to recite sutras today. We can recite more tomorrow to make up for it. Procrastinators have many reasons for putting things off. But then, can they skip sleep tonight and sleep a bit more tomorrow night? Can they fast today and eat a bit more tomorrow? Well, if they cannot procrastinate about eating, sleeping, and dressing, they shouldn't put off cultivating either. Do not let stupidity and dullness keep you from making the resolve. Don't think you are dumb and muddled and unable to make the resolve. Do not assume that you have shallow roots and are therefore unworthy of taking part in resolving on Bodhi. For example, after a tree is planted, the once shallow roots deepen every day. Similarly, as a knife is sharpened, the once dull blade becomes sharp. If you never grind a dull blade, it will always be dull. Wet it and it will be sharp. Simply because the roots are shallow, would we choose not to plant the tree and allow it to wither away? That the knife is dull is no reason not to sharpen it and to set it aside as useless. Work with it. Essay. Moreover, if we feel that cultivation makes us suffer, it is because we do not know that laxity will make us suffer even more. Cultivation entails a brief period of diligent toil, but it yields peace and joy for kalpas without end. One lifetime of laxity and of shirking work results in suffering for many lifetimes to come. Furthermore, with the Pure Land as our ship, what fear is there that we will retreat? Once we attain the power of patience with the non-existence of beings and phenomena, what difficulty can trouble us? When we know that in past kalpas there were even offenders in the hells who were able to resolve themselves upon Bodhi, how can we human disciples of the Buddha fail to make great vows in this life? Since time without beginning, we have been muddled and confused. It is useless to remonstrate with ourselves about the past, but we can wake up now and begin immediately to make amends. Since we are confused and not yet enlightened, we are certainly to be pitied. But if we know that we should cultivate, yet we fail to practice, we are especially pathetic. If we fear the suffering in the hells, we will naturally be vigorous. If we remember the imminence of death, we will not become lazy. Moreover, we must take the Buddha Dharma as our whip and find good friends to urge us on. For this short time, do not leave them. Rely on them to the end of your life. Then you need not fear retreat. Do not say that one thought is a small matter. Do not feel that vows are empty and useless. If our resolves are true, then we can realize our goals. When our vows are vast in scope, then our practice will go deep. Empty space is not big, but the ultimate resolve is gigantic. Vajra is not durable, but vow power is supremely durable. Great Assembly, if indeed you can accept my words, then from now on all pledge fraternity in the retinue of Bodhi and sign a compact of kinship in a lotus society. We vow to be reborn together in the Pure Land, to see Amitabha Buddha together, to transform living beings together, and to attain right enlightenment together. How do we know that our future perfection of the 32 hallmarks and the 100 blessings adornments does not begin on this day that we make this resolve and set our vows? I hope that the members of the Great Assembly will urge each other on. What good fortune! How lucky we are! Commentary. Moreover, if we feel that cultivation makes us suffer, being vegetarian, not doing this, not doing that, it is very restrictive. But it is because we do not know that laxity will make us suffer even more. Cultivation entails a brief period of diligent toil. For a short while you refrain from excess creature comforts, but it yields peace and joy for kalpas without end. One lifetime of laxity and of shirking work results in suffering for many lifetimes to come. You'll never get out of the sea of suffering. You might feel comfortable for brief moments thinking you are living it up with good meals or a nice home, but it is all temporary and won't last. You can fall into the hells, become a hungry ghost, or become an animal. But if you cultivate to success, you will be reborn in the Pure Land and will be happy forever. Furthermore, with the Pure Land as our ship to sail us out of the sea of suffering, what fear or worry is there that we will retreat or suffer? Once we attain the power of patience with the non-existence of beings and phenomena, what difficulty can trouble us? Nothing will be unbearably painful, and we won't need to seek happiness. Thus, with the patience with the non-existence of beings and phenomena, we won't see pain or delight coming into being or ceasing to be. When we know that in past kalpas there were even offenders in the hells who were able to resolve themselves upon Bodhi, that those beings in the hells got out quickly once they resolved to attain Bodhi, how can we human disciples of the Buddha fail to make great vows in this life? Since time without beginning, we have been muddled and confused. From many kalpas past, we have been ignorant and muddled. But it is useless to remonstrate with ourselves about the past. The past is gone. We have no way to change it. But we can wake up now and begin immediately to make amends. We still can make up for the past and redeem ourselves. Since we are confused and not yet enlightened, we are certainly to be pitied. But if we know that we should cultivate, yet we fail to practice, if we know we should make vows but fail to do so, we are especially pathetic. If we fear the suffering in the hells, we will naturally be vigorous. If we remember the imminence of death, the ghost of impermanence comes for you quickly. We will not become lazy. Moreover, we must take the Buddha Dharma as our whip and find good friends to urge us on. For this short time, do not leave them or the Dharma. Rely on them and the Dharma to the end of your life. Then you need not fear retreat. Do not say that one thought is a small matter. Do not feel that vows are empty and useless. If our resolves and vows are true, then we can realize our goals. When our vows are vast in scope, then our practice will go deep and advance. Empty space is not big, but the ultimate resolve is gigantic. It is measureless. Vajra, the hardest thing in this world, is not as durable as your vow power, which, if you never forget your vows, is supremely durable. Great Assembly, if indeed you can accept my words and resolve not to forget them, then from now on all pledge fraternity in the retinue of Bodhi. We'll be together and sign a compact of kinship in a lotus society. We vow to be reborn together in the Pure Land and to see Amitabha Buddha together, and then to transform living beings together and to attain right enlightenment, becoming Buddhas together. How do we know that our future perfection of the 32 hallmarks and the 100 blessings adornments of the 100 blessings does not begin on this day that we make our resolve on Bodhi and set our vows? Our future success starts today. I hope that the members of the Great Assembly will urge each other on. Make good vows and follow them. What good fortune! How lucky we are! We are really fortunate.